Psalm 23 and verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil." Say, "My head is anointed with oil. And my cup runs over." Glory to God. You may be seated. And then it goes on to say, "Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow us all the days of our life. And through the length of our days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be our dwelling place." Praise God. We have a future in him. Amen. Well, tonight, if it's your first time watching, our website's on the screen. It is vlfc.church. And there you can find out more about us. Submit your prayer requests, testimonies, access past messages, video, audio, sermon notes. I was talking to somebody today. I said, go back on the healing messages. There's so many. You can just type in search. Healing, and it'll all come up. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. And Pastor Rodney's daily devotionals on our website. It's on Facebook. You can sign up to have it in your inbox. Right now it's on "The Enemy's Defeated." I read that this morning. Praise God. We're not trying to wrestle with him, right? We're letting him know his place. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. So Sunday's doors open at 9. We have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10, so come early, fellowship, have coffee. And on Wednesday night, stores open at 6. We start at 6:30. So come early for that. And then we have refreshments afterwards. But next Wednesday, say next Wednesday, we're having a fellowship dinner. Those start at 6 o'clock. So we're usually here from 6 to maybe not even 8 o'clock, you know, somewhere in there. So we start at 6. There should be a sign up sheet over there. And then, you know, you can put down what you're going to bring. We'll have it out Sunday as well. And we'll set it up in here. And it's always a good time having fellowship dinner. So we just, on those nights we come, we visit with one another and eat food. And that's about it. And just have a good time. And so we really enjoy those times. This Friday, there's no Friday prayer. No Friday prayer this Friday, okay? I mean, pray. There will be prayer wherever you are, but we're not going to have it here from 9 to 10 this Friday only. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters. The coffee station back there, if that's something you just want to be overseeing and looking at, is the coffee station. Ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and the worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class, then come see us about that. And we thank you for volunteering. This is a house. We need everybody to come together in a house to get everything done. And we do it unto the Lord. And a great thing is that when we serve, we get to meet one another and form relationships in serving. So that's a blessing. Also, on Sunday, if you did not get your baby bottle and you're interested in the baby bottle boomerang, that's from Mother's Day to Father's Day. You can pick up a baby bottle over there for our local pregnancy center, Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center. And the instructions are over there, but you can fill it with cash, change, check, or there's a QR code over there to scan. And then you do a drop down to give into baby bottle boomerang. And also make sure, I didn't say this before, write down the church, write down Victory Life Family Church. It should give you an option for that as well so that they can appropriate that to the right church. And invite someone to church. Be intentional. Bring them with you. Praise God. We have church cards over there. Our vision brochures. Do you all have your vision brochures? I think I took mine out and gave it away. So this happens a lot. So, you know, this is a good thing you can put on your refrigerator. You can keep it in your Bible like I usually do. Go look over it. Thank God for our building. Be in agreement with us. Father, we thank you for our church building. This takes prayer. This takes vision for us to see it. And the Lord, the great thing is he knows exactly the plan. And so we're stepping into that place, but we have to be able to see it to step into it. And that's with anything in our lives. And I won't go through the whole thing, but just, I encourage you, look over this every day in your devotional time. It's a blessing. And so tonight for offering, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Zechariah 4, 6 through 7. And I'm not going to take long. In fact, I'm just going to read a scripture here this evening. Zechariah 4:6-7. Can you say Zerubbabel?
Zerubbabel.
Isn't that a fun name? Do we have a Zerubbabel in the room? It says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, to us, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. And don't you know he's here? Verse 7, for who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain molehill. So he's telling this mountain, this is what's going to happen to you. Whatever the mountain is in your life, we're doing offering message right now, whether it's regarding finances, whether it's regarding health in your body, whether it's regarding a relationship or whatever is going on in your life, whatever mountain that is, you speak to it. He's telling it, you shall become a mere molehill. What are you? You're nothing in the sight of God. He's bigger than all of this. So don't look to your mountain. Look to your God. Speak to your mountain. Amen. And he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying grace, grace to it. What do you have for tonight? You can speak grace, grace to it. Let's think of that and let's say it together. Grace, grace. Praise God. We receive his grace tonight as we're sowing, as we're giving, and whatever is going on. We thank you, Lord. We couldn't do it without your grace. We receive your grace upon grace upon grace. I pray your grace multiplied over the people here, over those watching, over Pastor Rodney as he's teaching tonight and preaching the word of God, the word of healing, the miracle ministry of Jesus. We thank you for that grace and the eyes and ears to see and hearts to receive it in the name of Jesus. And so as you're giving tonight, there's an offering envelope in the seat in front of you or under, or actually seat in front of you. Or if you're on the front row and you need one, just raise your hand. If you are, well, the next phase of the building project, I didn't say that. We're believing for $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May. We're believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth. We talked about that in our vision brochure here. And a little more about that, rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms, children's ministry, young adults, and a fellowship hall. Another sign for our building out here. We're believing for better lighting in this room. And for our children's room to be equipped for ministry, continual equipment. Also for a keyboard for our praise and worship team. So far, $2,100 has come in. Praise the Lord. And that only leaves $2,900 remaining. Grace, grace to that. We say grace, grace in the name of Jesus. So we're believing for that and using our faith. If you're giving towards the building fund, there's a drop down online or write it on your envelope. And also if you're giving by check, you can write to VLFC. If you're giving by a cash or credit card, use the offering envelope and please sign the line if it's by credit card and you may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Yes, Zerubbabel. Grace, grace, great grace. Amen. God's grace. Hallelujah. With enough grace, you can do anything. I love this passage over here. It's the early church in Acts chapter 4. They were all gathered together. They had been having this awesome prayer meeting. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled. Say all filled. With the Holy Spirit. Now, they are already born again. I mean, they're in church. He says here, but they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And the believers were of one heart and of one soul. And none said that what he possessed was his own, but all things were in common. With great power, the apostles testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But now hear this, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. So again, there's God's grace. Amen. With enough grace, you can do anything. He says over in 2 Corinthians 9:8, we're talking about, you know, finances for, or, you know, in this, it says God is able to make all grace come to you in abundance. But now over here, he says great grace. Great grace was upon the entire church. Amen. They were about kingdom business. They had had this kingdom prayer meeting. Amen. And they're believing for signs and wonders and miracles, just like we are here tonight. Amen. They pray, Lord, give us some more signs. Give us some more wonders. Give us some more miracles. Give us some more healings. And obviously the Lord was pleased because it says the whole house, that church where they were gathered together, was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out preaching and teaching and ministering. You go over into Acts chapter 5, and you see the answer to that prayer. Oh, yeah, mass healings, miracles, and wonders were taking place. Again, not just through the apostles and the disciples. We saw Stephen. Stephen was just a lay minister. He was on staff at the ministry. He was one of 7 administrators. And yet he was going out while he's ministering bread to the people. He's ministering healing. Mm-hmm. Amen. So again, I've got your physical bread today, sister. What do you need? What do you need? And he's preaching to him, he's teaching them, and he is, and the Lord is using this man, and many signs. The scripture says many signs, miracles were wrought through Stephen's hands. He's not fivefold ministry. He's just a believer. He's part of this same church. Great grace was upon them all. He gives you a glimpse into what was going on in his life and ministry, and he was not just the one-off. This was happening all over the place. They were gathered together ministering to the people daily. Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord. That's a picture for you and I. That's a picture for you and I. Glory to God. Again, what we're seeing about here in this series on Wednesday nights is Jesus, the miracle worker. Again, what we're noticing here with all these miracles and the same thing on Sundays, Jesus never, ever says, hey, boys, I'm about to do a miracle. Watch me. Isn't this cool? Praise me. Never. Matter of fact, he says, no, it's not even me that's doing the miracle. It's not me healing the people. It's the Father dwelling in me. He's doing his works. I'm just obedient to find out what the Father says, do what he says, and do it the way he says do it. And then he just shows up and performs the work. And he says, oh, yeah, by the way, here in John 14:10, the Father who lives in me, he does the works. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself. He says in John 5:30, as I hear, I judge. I decree a thing as I hear from the Father. And now hear this, John 14:12, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also, because I go to the Father. I've got to go. You're going to be here. This, what you've been seeing me demonstrate these last 3.5 years, you're going to do it. Just the exact same way I did it. You see the early church over in the book of Acts doing it exactly that way. Right after Jesus is resurrected, Peter and John over in Acts chapter 3, they're going into a church to pray. And then sitting outside the temple, there's a man been lame from his mother's room. And then he's looking at them. And Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none. Yeah, Judas just stole their money the other day. You know, have I none, but such as I have, give I you. What did Peter have? The name of Jesus. Jesus told him over here in John 14, whatever you ask the Father. So again, this goes back to the Father. But again, we're talking about power of attorney now. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. Amen. That I will do. Anything you ask. So Peter, taking that authority of the believer with that name that he's been delegated, he doesn't pray to God. He doesn't ask God. He doesn't say, John, let's go in here and get to church and let's pray for this man. Doesn't do it. He commands healing. The exact same way that Jesus commands the storm, commands every miracle. Jesus doesn't pray, oh God, if it be thy will. Jesus doesn't pray, oh God, if you can do anything. No, he knows. I've heard from the Father. I'm going to command, be healed, be restored, be made whole, peace be still. He gives a command.
Peter gives a command. And on down the line, you'll see it throughout the New Testament. They're given a faith command to these things, and it's lining up. It's straightening up. Demons are cast out. People are getting healed. Hallelujah to Jesus. So again, we talked about this on Sunday and over these past months. There is a time to pray about things, but more often than not, it's time to command. It's time to say, it's time to declare and to decree a thing and to watch it be established. Job 22:28 says, "You shall decree a thing, it shall come to pass." Who gives decrees? A king. You are a king. The scripture says you are a king and you are a priest. A king gives a command, a priest offers prayer. There's two sides. Again, you have to, so when we're learning to see more and more about these situations, so we've been teaching here about prayer on Fridays, I would encourage you, if you're here in the area, come and join us 9 o'clock pre-service for prayer on Fridays. Now, again, not this Friday. We got some folks traveling, so you're going to be out of town. But again, on this Sunday, 9:20, we will have pre-service prayer here. I will facilitate that myself. Again, Pastor Paul, I know you're going to be out traveling this weekend, but we're going to have that. So again, we're learning about prayer, but again, now we're learning about faith. Again, how and when to say versus when to pray. Again, far too many times people are trying to ask God to do something He's already accomplished in Christ, given you the name of Jesus and told you to go command that name. You go command it. You go lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. You go cast out the devil in my name. He'll flee. Amen. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. This is week 6. We're going to be looking at the Gadarene demoniac. This is recorded in Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 8, and Luke chapter 8. We're going to be focusing here tonight on Mark chapter 5, as that's the most complete and thorough account of it. So we're going to go ahead and read through that passage in Mark 5, 1 through 20. So just a preset, they had just come across Galilee. Jesus has been teaching. They all get in the boat. Jesus is asleep on the pillow. A hurricane rises up, you know, and the disciples, they go wake up Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die." Jesus rises up, speaks to the wind, "Peace, be still," and there's a great calm. Again, he takes words and he speaks a word with authority, and it and the winds completely ceases from a major hurricane. Again, these are experienced fishermen. They've been living on the Sea of Galilee fishing for years. And now they're at this point where, hey, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. "Jesus, don't you care?" Jesus rises up, rebukes the wind, "Peace be still." And then he turns to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Again, Jesus is always talking about teaching and preaching faith, trying to pull faith out of them. Get the fear out. Again, we saw this on Sunday with Jairus. Do not fear, only believe. There's only one thing to consider. What has God said? Yeah. What has God said? So again, Jesus, "I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do." He gives the devil no place. There's no room for fear or fearful thoughts to operate in his life, because he ever only considers one thought. What does God say about it? That settles it. Again, Jesus in the wilderness at the end of 40 days. Satan comes to tempt him 3 times. Satan, it's written. He quotes scripture. Satan, it's written, quote scripture. Satan, it's written, quote scripture. And Satan, get out of here. And he gets. Hallelujah. There's only one thing to consider. It's written. Know what's written. Know your covenant. Know who you are in Christ. Know what you have in Christ. Know what you can do in Christ. And tell him where to go. He will. He has to. Again, James 4:7, submit to God. Submit to his word, submit to the authority of that word. He says, you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Don't pray to me about the devil. You speak to that devil, you tell him where to go, and he will. You speak to sickness and disease, you tell it where to go, it will. Right. Now, if in your life, if it's cold and flu season, If it's sickness and disease, if it's weakness and pain, and oh my and oh me, that's how it will be in your house, but not in my house. I pray not in this house. No, we're learning to know. No. I was healed by his stripes. I command healing the exact same way that Jesus did. I do not have to receive sickness or disease another day in my life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I've been walking this for 15, 16 years. Sickness and disease comes near me, on me, it dies. It has no right to live. Jesus spoke and laid hands to all kinds of people, lepers and all type of stuff. Jesus never got sick. They always got healed. Jesus, weren't you scared? Jesus, aren't you afraid? This will kill you. As if. Jesus had revelation. Praise God. And I've been learning more and more about these things. And I'm not saying I have fully seen and arrived and see it just like Jesus sees it, but I've seen enough. I've known enough. I've been walking in it enough. Amen. It's not mine. It does not belong to me. I don't have to receive it, and I refuse to do so. Get behind me, Satan. You are under my feet. And I tell him, and he does. The Bible tells me to. That's what the Bible tells me to do. And I've been living in it. We've been living in it all these years. Huh. We talked about this. We were on staff at Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 10 years. Amen. We've been preaching here now for 2.5 years. And how many times did I call in sick over that? Not once. Why? I wasn't sick. I'm not sick. We don't receive it. You know, when we first got to town, Paula was working at another job here, you know, and then she was working with a bunch of folks in the office, and they were always getting sick. I mean, and they're talking it all day long. Oh, this is going around. That's going around. And I got it. And my husband's got it. And my wife's got it. And his kids got it. And they got it again. Oh, it's coming. And you're next. They would tell you that. You're next. No, I'm not next. No, it's not coming to my house. It's not coming to you. It's not coming to your spouse. It's not coming to the kids. Why? We're redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us. He says that we are now redeemed from the curse. Well, what was under the curse? Every sickness and every disease. Jesus paid it all. I'm here today to testify and to declare it and to enforce it in my life and in my body. That's not who I am. All right. Mark 5:1, on the other side of the sea, they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes as soon as Jesus got out of the boat. He just barely touches down on the shore. He was met by a man with an unclean spirit. So again, this unclean means foul. It means lewd. This man is naked. All right. Unclean spirit who was coming from the tombs. This man was living in the graveyard. So again, you have a naked man living in the graveyard. This man had been living in the tombs and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. We're talking about this man has got supernatural strength. They tried to put chains on him. He would bust free. We got to keep moving. Though he was often bound with chains and shackles, he had broke the chains and shattered the shackles. Now there was no one with the strength to subdue him. Night and day, this man had no rest. Night and day in the tombs and in the mountains, he kept crying out and cutting himself with stones. You know, we've seen this over the years. You know, people cutting themselves. That's a demonic spirit.
Right.
That's a demonic spirit. This is old as time itself. Same demons doing the same stuff. Crying out and cutting himself with stones. When the man saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees before him and shouted in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God not to torture me, For Jesus had already declared, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit. What is your name?" Jesus asked. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Just a quick note, a legion in the Roman army was anywhere upwards of 7,000 troops. Typically 5 to 7,000 troops made up a legion. The captain of the demons that was in that man rose up and said, we're a legion, for we are many. Now, we're going to see more about this. This is so powerful. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many," and he begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them out of that region. There on the nearby hillside, a large herd of pigs was feeding, so the demons begged Jesus, "Send us to the pigs that we may enter them." He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and went into the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. Again, these are the same folks that had sent out teams of people to restrain this man. They would put chains on him and he would bust free. These people come out, they see this man sitting there clothed, that was new, and in his right mind. I would imagine he probably went in the ocean right there and or the sea and probably took a bath. You know he stunk. You know he's stuck. Clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described what had happened to the demon-possessed man and also to the pigs. And the people, now hear this, began to beg Jesus to leave their region. This man just delivered a legion of demons out of one man, and they said, "No, Jesus, we don't want you around here. Get out. No, we don't want any of that here. Leave." Again, these are Gentiles. This is a Gentile man. This is a Gentile region. Can you imagine? Y'all have been trying to do something. Again, this man, you see other accounts, they weren't able to even pass by the way. This man would fall upon you and beat and whoop people. I mean, he's supernaturally strong. He's been terrorizing this whole region for who knows how long. Now this man is clothed, he's free in his right mind, and no, Jesus, we don't want you here. Now, I put it to you, these people weren't demon-possessed, but they were absolutely under demonic influence, that you're going to ask Jesus to leave? Oh, yeah. No, we don't want any more freedom here. We don't want any more deliverance here. Get out. We want to keep our devils. Happens all the time. And the people began to beg Jesus to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus would not allow him. "Go home to your own people," he said, "and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." So the man went away and began to proclaim throughout the Decapolis, that is these ten Gentile cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Amen. Praise God. So I want to ask us here tonight, just a couple of feedback here right quick, but want to ask you, what stood out to you about this passage? What stood out to you about this passage? Yes.
Jesus had no fear. I mean,
Jesus had no fear because he knew the authority that he had. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, thank you for that. I want to just share with us a few things here, and then we'll get into the discussion in the ministry lab tonight. But look at here what this miracle, number one, shows us about Jesus. Now, again, first off, Jesus steps off the boat, obviously into a spiritually hostile environment, not just this man. But obviously all the other people around said, "We don't want you here, Jesus. We want you to get back in your boat and go back to where you came from." This is a spiritually hostile environment. He's completely unafraid of even a legion of demons. So number one, the miracle reveals to us that Jesus is not intimidated by darkness. There is a man supernaturally strong. He is known to be violent. You've heard all throughout the region, all surrounding people have heard about it. They talked about it. You know, there's a very wild man over there. All right. He's strong. He's violent. He's tormented. He's isolated. He's uncontrollable. But what's really something here, again, Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see him do. Father, show Jesus, you need to go to the other side and deal with this. So he goes across. There's a hurricane in the night. All through that, he goes over there to minister freedom to one man who's not even in covenant. At this time, he is a no covenant, right? He's not the house of Israel. He's not a Jew. He's not part of this old covenant. And yet God says, no, I want you to go deal with this man. Wow. He sent him all this way, him and the whole ministry team, to go minister to one man. One man. We also see that Jesus carries absolute authority over demons. The legion of demons, again, 5,000 to 7,000, even afar off. This man's never seen Jesus. Jesus hasn't been there before. Afar off, that legion of demons in that man saw Jesus, knew who he was, and that legion of demons was compelled by the authority in him. They ran to Jesus, they kneeled at his feet, and they begged him, please don't send us away. Please don't send us away. 5,000 to 7,000 demonic spirits, one Jesus, no match. Right. Now hold on to your seat. Matthew 28:18, Jesus, as he's going up to be ascended after the resurrection, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Now go in my name. Again, John 14:10, he gave you power of attorney to go use his name. Again, power of attorney, whatever I can do, my name can do, as being personally present. So again, think of it. We looked at this here on Sunday a couple of weeks back, the centurion servant. Lord, I don't even need you to come under my roof. Send the word only, my servant will be healed. In the spirit, Jesus speaks a word, and it's as though Jesus were personally present there, laying hands on and ministering healing to that servant, even though he's down the street somewhere. Amen. Jesus is now saying, you go in my name. When you speak my name, all that I am is there to back it. Whatever is needed in the situation, there I am to back it to the hilt. Amen. It doesn't matter how big the mountain is, how low the valley is. It makes no difference. I am. I'm here to fill it. I'm here to take care of it. So again, legion of demons, they recognize him instantly. They bow, they beg, and they obey. Jesus sees the person, not the problem. Everybody else has been looking at and making much of the threat this man poses. Jesus looks past all that and sees a man worth saving. No man is too far gone. There is no such thing really as a man any more far gone than this man is. I don't know how much worse you can get than being literally possessed by a legion of demons. You no longer have any control of your faculties. You can't even speak for yourself. Jesus is speaking, and the demon is the only one that ever answers. This man he's there. He can observe, but he's literally trapped. And even looking at other accounts of people who have been demon-possessed, they said it's exactly like that. They are literally a prisoner in their own bodies. They can look and they can see and observe everything that's going on, but they have no control over their own actions. Jesus, in a moment of time, restores this man's identity and his dignity. This man goes from being naked to being clothed. He goes from being tormented to having perfect peace. He goes from being isolated from all of society to restored. He goes from being literally out of his mind, restored back into his right mind. A legion of demons, one Jesus, no match. They knew it. That's why they came running up to him, falling on their feet. Again, what does Philippians 2 say? Every knee must bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. They knew it. They recognized it, and they bowed the knee. And when he gave a command, they obeyed. Say, that's me. You function the exact same way. You tell sickness and disease, get, and it has to go. No different than a legion of demons. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus sends people out into purpose. He restores them and he sends them out. So again, this man, Jesus commissions him to be the first missionary to the Decapolis, that again, those 10 cities, I'm not going to name them all for time's sake. But again, Jesus commissions him, specifically sends him out to preach Jesus to the Gentiles. Jesus took the most vile and seemingly hopeless person, and in a moment of time, not only delivers him, makes him a preacher of the gospel. I talk about an awesome miracle. You were literally demon-possessed, and then the next moment you are commissioned by the head of the church personally himself, go preach my name. Go preach Jesus and tell him what all I've done for you. Amen. They did, and they were amazed by it. Amen. And later on, so many of these cities converted to Christ. Just a few years later, this is approximately a year or so before Jesus goes to the cross. Amen. A few years after that is when Paul has his Damascus Road experience, kind of similar to this one, you know, and he goes and preaches. Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. To even some of these same cities in this area. Praise God. So what we see here, number two, is what the demoniac's condition reveals about bondage. Hallelujah. The man's condition paints a picture of what spiritual oppression can look like. Number one, we see that here he's living in isolation. He lived among the tombs. He's cut off from community. He's cut off from his family. Number two, he's in torment. He says he's crying out day and night. He has no rest. Three, he is self-harming. He's cutting himself with stones. He has loss of control. No one can restrain him, not even himself. He has no control. We see loss of identity. The man is unable to speak for himself. Instead, the demons are answering. The demons are the ones doing the talking. So what the enemy does, he steals your identity, he destroys your dignity, and he isolates you from all hope. He makes you feel that it's hopeless. Again, this is why we've seen in just in recent years suicide rates. Right here in the United States, especially even among teenagers, has gone up astronomically. What is it? So the enemy's still pulling the same tricks. He's stealing your identity. Has people's identity been under attack? Greatly under attack. Because the enemy knows if I can steal your identity, if I can steal your identity, I will destroy your dignity. If I can destroy your dignity, I can cause you to be isolated, even though you might be among other people. In your own mind, I can isolate you, and what's left? Hopelessness, self-destruction, cutting yourself, people killing themselves. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. If I can destroy your identity, I can cascade this thing literally into your own suicide. Come out of the man. The turning point. Jesus commands, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. This reveals the framework of deliverance. Number one, Jesus speaks with authority. He does not negotiate with the devil. Jesus never negotiates with the devil. He never gives any ground. He never backs up. He commands. The devil obeys. Luke 13, Jesus is giving a teaching there, but he says to each one of us, occupy until I come. I've given you my name. I've given you the authority. As 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, you are an ambassador of Christ. Take my name. You go occupy this ground. Don't give it up. So I start with me. Satan, you will not occupy my thought life. You will not occupy this body. You will occupy none of me. You will not occupy my wife. You're not going to occupy my daughter. You're not going to occupy this household. You will not occupy this church. Amen. We take our authority every single day. We declare these things in the morning. We speak it over ourselves. We speak it over our family. We speak it over this church, over this community. No, we're here to take ground. And as we take it, we're just taking another step and another step and another step. And we're going to keep doing so till he comes. That is a command from the head of the church. You are to occupy until I come. Sir, yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, he does not negotiate. He commands. Darkness, we see, must obey his voice. The demons begged for permission. An entire legion of demons, one Jesus, they're powerless. Before he even gives a command, they bowed the knee. They recognized authority. The centurion recognized authority. Again, he's a Gentile. He recognized authority. The devil knows when you're walking in authority and when you're not. Oh, we can both say the exact same words, but if you're not saying it out of your heart in faith, he knows it. There's a force of faith that rises up out of your spirit, man, when you give a command. And he knows when you're playing and when you're not. He knows it. Darkness must obey his voice. Deliverance is instant in the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, when you declare, when you would decree a thing in faith, it happens. It happens that fast. It's not always immediately visible in the natural realm. Jesus spoke 9 faith-filled words to a fig tree over in Mark chapter 11. You did not see any evidence for 24 hours. And yet we know the word was working the whole time because Peter looked at it the next day and said, oh, this tree, Jesus, you cursed, it has now dried up from the roots. That word was working at the root the very moment. You just didn't see it in the natural realm for another day. Amen. When you command something in the spirit, it's happening. When you make a demand for healing, it's there. It's there. Sometimes I've seen it manifest instantly. Sometimes I've seen it manifest in 15 minutes or less. Sometimes and especially where other people are concerned, it might take a day or two or a month. Just depends. A lot of times it's according to that person's faith. Because again, Jesus reveals something over and over and over and over. Oh, you of little faith, great faith. Where was your faith? Oh yeah. Over again, according to your faith. So again, if you have faith, you're going to lay hands on me and instantly I'm going to be healed. I dare say most folks will receive it exactly that way. Most folks can receive, well, I believe that healing is going to work. And by this time tomorrow, I'm going to be a whole lot better. And even ministering to people, again, under grave situations, again, I had a lot of opportunity to minister one-on-one to people over the years. And you encounter and you work with people with where they're at, not where you're at, not where someone else is at, according to their faith. Again, I'm thinking back to this one lady in particular. This is years ago, 15 years ago now, and she's got, some very serious, even terminal things going on in her body, and so she comes to me for prayer, and hey, I want you to pray with me, brother. Okay, and then she gives me this long list of all of this been going on, and it's some very serious stuff, and I'm just sitting back here. And again, when I minister to folks, I'm listening with one ear, but I'm really listening with my spiritual ear. What are you saying? But what is Holy Spirit saying? And so he just prompts me to ask her, Sister, I know you've listed all of these things, but I want to ask you this. What is it that you can, that you and I specifically can agree on in faith today to receive from God? Because I knew she didn't have faith to receive all this. And so she pauses for a minute, and then she responds, and she gave me something that she has not even yet mentioned. She said, you know what? Headache. Now, again, terminal illness. But it clicked with her too. Again, Holy Spirit knew that. And so he told me to ask her that. She had faith to receive healing from her headache today. She didn't have faith to receive all this other stuff today. So we didn't even address anything else. We targeted our faith. We spoke to that headache and we commanded it to go. I said, you receive this and now come back tomorrow. We can talk about the next thing and we can start checking things off the list. I've heard even about other ministers, the exact same thing, going into the hospitals, going to these other places. And again, they don't necessarily have faith where they're at to receive the whole big chunk all at once. But we can work with you where you're at. Do you have faith that between now and tomorrow, we're not going to get any worse? We can start there. Do you have faith the next day that we can maybe be a little bit better? Again, we just work with people. So again, we see these things, and again, Holy Spirit knows where you're at. Ask Him. Commune with Him. Hear from Him. Lord, I've got a mountain of debt. Lord, I've got a mountain of symptoms. Lord, I've got this going on in my family, in my marriage. I know You can set me free from this in a moment of time. This is no question about whether or not You can or You can't. But the limiting factor I know is me and what I can receive today according to my faith. And Holy Spirit, You're the only one that knows exactly where I'm at, how to deal with me, where I am. And again, we can get there eventually. Amen. And it might take a day or two. It might take a week or two. Amen. But just start working with Holy Spirit and let Him show you the next step to take. And He will. Amen. Uh-huh. Thank You, Jesus. So again, Jesus restores identity. Jesus restores His purpose. Jesus sends the man home to testify. Hallelujah to Jesus. He makes a preacher out of him. So I want to look here now at what this miracle shows us about discipleship. Number one, Jesus goes where others will not go. Again, He crosses a stormy sea to reach one Gentile who has no covenant. Jesus sees value where others only see danger. He sees the person beneath the pain. He says, no one is beyond saving. No one. If anyone disqualified, it was this man. Apostle Paul was really not much different. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was out murdering Christians. If anyone disqualified for salvation, I would think it would be him. Jesus said, nope, no one is disqualified. As long as you're drawing breath, there is an opportunity for you to repent and to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus restores people fully, His mind, His emotions, His dignity, and His purpose. Freedom is not the end, it's only the beginning. This man becomes a voice of hope in a region that had rejected Jesus. Again, we can see a few years later, this region had turned to Jesus en masse. Damascus was one of those cities. Paul was on his way to Damascus to go arrest who? Christians. Paul was on his way to go arrest Christians. I dare say some of the converts he was going to arrest were a result of this man preaching. Selah. Thank You, Lord. Again, what does this mean for us today? No one is too far gone. If He can set this man free, if He can set Paul free, He can set anybody free. Jesus, again, he breaks every chain. So again, no matter the addiction, the torment, the shame, the fear, nothing is stronger than His authority. I just want to make a quick note. Ever thought about how or why this man was demon-possessed with a legion of demons? I know this. A legion of demons didn't just show up one day and just take over this man. Nope. This man was involved in something and had been yielding to the devil, the devil came in and he just kept yielding and yielding to the point that now a legion of demons has invaded this man and he is no longer in control of any part of his life or faculties. He's not even a Jew. He's not even in covenant. At this point in time, Jesus, again, we're on that side of the cross, and yet he goes all the way over there for this one man to set him free. Hallelujah. Jesus restores our identity. He breaks every chain. He brings us back into our families and our communities. He reconnects us with people. But most importantly, I think he gives us purpose. He restores our purpose so that our story can be someone else's hope. Praise be to God. So let's all say this identity statement here together tonight. In Christ, every chain is broken. I am restored, whole, and sent with purpose. Amen. Online, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, so we're going to break out here in the room. Again, I want to encourage you. We're going to be back here pre-service prayer on Sunday at 9:20. Service starts at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, know this, God loves you and we love you. And in him, we are living in victory.